throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports, right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports and Moo. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of stuff going on, Jared. Thunder. Is it time to start considering the Thunder a contender right now? Are they?
They're making it hard to say no.
What, 23-9 in the last week?
But it's not like they're beating the teams on the bottom of the barrel here. They're beating other contenders.
In the last week, they have beaten the top team in the West, the defending champs, and the team with the best record in the NBA. With Minnesota, Denver, and now Boston last night. Is there a move? By move meaning trade. If you don't think they're a contender, is there a move that would make them one this year? Or would you rather see, you know, this, are they the Kings of last year? Really good in the regular season, but leaving something to be desired in the playoffs. And would you rather kind of see this group go through the playoffs together and then decide, maybe they need this? Or would you feel like, okay, we think we need this and trade, you know what I'm saying? As far as making the moves. Hard to believe that it is the last regular season week of NFL. Final regular season weekend. What are the scenarios? If you could, no matter what the scenarios are, if you could pick out like a game you want to see in the playoffs in each conference, you know, what would you like to see coming up in the wild card round? Who's the most surprising teams that might be in that wild card round? Did Lamar wrap up the MVP last week in that bludgeoning of Miami? Then what are your top five going into the final regular season week of the NFL?
That's actually the hardest question on this list here for me.
Then we got high school hoops from last night. We'll talk about that. And then tournaments galore starting tomorrow. You know, a lot of times when you look at the OSSA rankings website, try to find scores of games, you know, you scroll down a little ways and, you know, the list is what it is. There's some teams, like last night, a bunch of the teams around here didn't play because of tournaments starting on Thursday. Some did, some didn't. It's not that. I was looking for some stuff for tomorrow. I mean, that list, you scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll and scroll because everybody's playing across the state of Oklahoma somewhere in some kind of tournament starting up tomorrow. So we've got all the brackets of the Paragon teams right here in my right hand so we can talk about all those different tournaments. Look forward to that. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things. Whatever else might be on your mind, feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com, or you can download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News, brand-new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight, thepennynews.com. You can check out the deals there. I've already seen our fearless leader roaming the halls.
Yeah.
Getting ready to head east to go pick up the print copy of the Penny News. So you can find that some places tonight, other places all across Western Oklahoma. How are you today, Jared?
I'm good. Real good. How are you? Enjoying this chilly weather? I kind of am, as long as it's not windy.
That's right.
Right? I can tolerate that. I've always said that. Feels like high school basketball weather.
I could probably do without. I mean, I know I could do without like ice.
Oh yeah.
I could probably do without snow, although it's kind of pretty for a little bit. But the cold. I mean, if this is as cold as it gets, or even the cold days, as long as the wind's not howling.
Yeah.
It's not too terrible bad, right?
No, I can deal with this.
You know, sunny and 40, as long as the wind's not blowing, not bad.
Not bad at all.
Not
the only issue I have with snow is the inconvenience that comes with it when it comes to like driving in or power outages, stuff like that. Same thing with ice, obviously. But other than that, I mean, I've always been a bah humbug kind of guy when it comes to winter weather. But today was not bad. Just waking up and, oh yeah, there's a little frosty on the windows, but it's not going to be windy and the sun's out. Can't complain. Feels like last week of football and high school basketball weather. So, good mood. How are you doing?
If I could just get this...
A little tickle?
A little tickle in my throat.
Yeah, you and my wife, man.
Kind of a sore throat. Here's the deal. I've been stopped up, which leads to not being able to sleep with your mouth closed and breathe through your nose.
Yeah.
Which then leads, because it seems like in the wintertime it's drier, then leads to waking up and like my tongue is like the scales of a snake.
Yeah.
And I'm having to drink water, which then leads to, at my advanced age, having to pee three or four times at night. You know, and so just not comfortably sleeping. But it's getting better. I already feel better today than I did yesterday, so
you thought like a humidifier in your room?
I need one.
You know, something
quite
like
frankly.
That.
Quite frankly, it's pretty stupid I don't have one, because not only that part, but then with my bleeding disorder, it would be pretty smart to kind of have some humidity in our room.
Yeah.
To that point last night, getting set up. Plenty of time, you know, there. It's like 5:15. Game done. I don't go on till 6:15 as I kind of wipe right here. And
I thought you were bleeding.
That's what happened last night.
Oh.
I get everything set up, talking to Cody and Tyson, just kind of hanging out. You know, it's 30 minutes. It's like 5:45.
Yeah.
And they look at me like, dude, your nose is bleeding. And I was like, yeah, I thought I felt it.
Oh, no.
And so, thankfully, I got it shut off before anything really happened. It delayed the pregame by like a minute and a half. So, in you know, when that happens, if there's anything with the way that it's run in the gym, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because we got some wiggle room, but if you miss a minute and a half or 2 minutes, then our schedule with our ads becomes pretty tight.
Right, right. Yeah.
And so if there's, you know, with the pregame stuff, the way it goes, if it doesn't all flow like I'm used to it flowing, all of a sudden you're doing that starting lineup about the same time the ball's tipped, right? I mean, it's just the way it goes.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened last night with my nose. But thankfully, nothing. Like during the game, it was completely minded throughout the evening. So that was good. Elkettes and the Big Elks both lost to Anadarko. The Elkettes fall 69-47. The Big Elks 75-33. I kept saying it during the broadcast and going back as far as I could to look at scores.
Yeah,
it seemed like, you know, I think I decided this is the eighth year I've done this for Elk City.
Uh huh.
And it seemed to me like watching that girls' game, this was the best that the Elkettes had played Anadarko, by far the most points that they had scored. And so I went back and looked at the score. So last night, 69-47, they were down 19-6 at the end of the first quarter. Yeah, that sounds bad, and it kind of was. But at the same time, they probably missed three, I know for sure, maybe even four, you know, like bumps right at the rim. Mm-hmm. And contested ones, and it wasn't like it was wide open just blowing them. But contested ones that you've got to make in a game against Anadarko, with the way they play, as physical as they are, they're harder shots than against just about anybody else you play, because they're always kind of on you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're open, you'll kind of feel them. And so, you know, if you make three or four of those, and it's 19-13, you're right there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But after that, 50-41, the last three quarters, the 47 points is by far and away the most. If you go back over the last 6 years, by far the most points that the Elkettes have put up against Anadarko. And when you watched it, there wasn't those stretches where you know, you couldn't get the ball across, like minutes stretches where he couldn't get the ball across the half line because of the pressure that was leading to easy layup. Now, there was times where it happened, but for the most part, even the turnovers were dead ball turnovers. You know, throwing that out of bounds instead of throwing it for steals and layups. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that gave you a chance to get back and set up defense. So an idea of some of the scores. Like, let's see, in the 2019 season, the Elkettes went 16-10. I can't remember if they made it to area that year. They were close. They played in the finals of all three regular season tournaments they played in, up at Cleveland, over at Clinton, and then at Cashin. You know, so this is, I'm talking about a good team.
Mm-hmm.
They played in Anadarko twice that year. They combined in two games to score 32. They got to be 47-15 and 62-17. The next year, 66-22, 63-11. Then the last 2 years, 47-37, 42-30. So there's only been the last two where you combine 2 years in a row where they scored as many points as they did last night. With such a young team, you want to see that growth, even in losses. And the truth of it is, the schedule, we talk about it all the time. The Western Conference is loaded night after night after night. There's rarely a night off. And so, yeah, it may not be showing up in the win column just yet, but there's no doubt that young team, starting two freshmen, a couple of juniors and a senior, sophomores and freshmen come off the bench and play key roles, much improved. The wins are coming.
No, sure.
For the Elkettes.
Yeah.
Big Elks, man, they played hard for the first half. They got in foul trouble. Last half of the second quarter was just a parade to the free throw line for Anadarko. You know what I noticed about the new foul rules? I'm not saying that this was the strategy by Anadarko last night, but it certainly worked to their favor a couple of times. You know, in the second quarter, twice away from the ball, you flop and you get a call. Well, all of a sudden, that means you just need three more.
You're right.
Before you're shooting. And you know, that's just what happened. You shoot 18 free throws in the first half. That's a ton, right?
Yeah.
And then the Elks were doing a really good job. You know, Darko scored 11 points in like the first 2 minutes of the game. You look up with like 4.5 minutes to play in the first half, it was 14-10. You know, just neither team scored for like 4 or 5 minutes there for a little bit. But then, you know, the parade to the free throw line, a couple of turnovers, next thing you know, I think 33-12 at halftime, and then the second half, Anadarko's offensive execution was exquisite, like it is sometimes with Coach Shumpert. And, man, they looked really, really good. The Elks got in foul trouble, and they had three guys with four fouls in the first half. You know, what do you do? For the Big Elks anyway, there is no doubt that offensively – they are going to have a hard, hard, hard time putting the ball in the basket without Cole. And Bowie picked up three fouls in the first quarter, another in the second quarter, fouled out in the third. I mean, he had to have, you know, the game was out of hand. Might as well play him, right?
And yeah.
There's just something about the officiating matchup and Cole Bowie that doesn't go his way. He might as well. That's what I said after the game to Doc. It's like, you know what, that guy's out there, he might as well just sit down. It just doesn't seem like there's something there that doesn't gel very well. But the Elks fall 75-33. So now we look ahead to tomorrow over at Hinton. It doesn't get any easier for the Big Elks as their first round matchup is against Class B number 2 Fort Cobb. The defending Class B state champion Mustangs, the 3 seed in this Hinton Invitational.
Hmm. Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah, number 1 seed is Riverside, which Riverside's beat Fort Cobb twice already.
Well.
2A number 10, Riverside. And then here's the first time I've noticed anything about the new rule with private schools.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
With the success and that kind of thing. So Community Christian is the 2nd seed in the boys tournament as and the girls both. They both got the second seed. But the Community Christian boys are number 15 in Class 4A. The girls are number 6 in Class 3A. So obviously the Community Christian boys have had success that has bumped them up a class where the girls didn't have to follow.
I don't think I've ever considered that.
I didn't either. I was looking.
I thought it was a whole thing, like a school thing. It wasn't. So it's a program thing.
Yes.
Wow. I didn't even consider that being a possibility.
I didn't either, but I was looking for them in the rankings because they're a second seed ahead of Fort Cobb, who's number two in Class B. I thought, where are they at? They got to be ranked. And I'm scouring the 3A rankings. I'm like, where are they?
Yeah.
And so I went to their school, and sure enough, bam, there they were.
Well, there you go. I mean, they're going to be traveling different locations for playoffs and everything.
In a completely different class.
That is wild. That's nuts.
It is wild. Yeah, I hadn't considered.
I didn't even think about for those
schools like that. Yeah. So the Elkettes, they draw Christian Heritage. Going into last night, Christian Heritage, a 2A school, was 4-2. And like I said, the Elkettes, even though 1-8 on the record so far, you know, some of the things you saw last night, if they had been able to do in some other games earlier this year, they've got at least a 500 record, like free throws. I think they were 16 of 20 from the free throw line last night, which is a drastic improvement over some games that they, quite frankly, lost at the free throw line before Christmas. But so the Elkettes play Christian Heritage 4:20, and then the Big Elks follow against Fort Cobb at 5:40. That's first round action from Hinton tomorrow. You, Jared Atha, will be at Merritt for the Merritt Classic, 14th annual Merritt Classic.
Long road trip.
Yeah, just right out west.
It's right over there. Pretty good field. I don't have the bracket in front of me, do you?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Sorry, I don't have it.
So the Oilerettes of Merritt are the number one seed. Two ranked teams in both in the boys and girls brackets. It's Merritt and Canute in the girls, which looks like there's a pretty good chance we may see that final on Saturday at 6. It's 2A number 7 Merritt, Class A number 9 Canute. Moreland and Turpin, Hooker and Mangum are the other two games on the girls' side. Boys-wise, same thing. Hooker 2A number 8 is the one seed. Canute is the two seed at Class A number 11. Frederick plays Merritt on the Hooker side. Turpin plays Moreland on the Canute side. So, like we were talking about yesterday, the success the Oilerettes had at the Bertha Frank Teague Classic can now maybe be piggybacked off of by the Trojanettes of Canute if they're able to make their way into that final and defeat the Oilerettes in that final if both teams are able to get there.
If they can navigate that way, that path, absolutely. There's that possibility of doing that. Boys, too. Both teams have made an appearance in a final in a tournament over in Moreland. The girls winning, the boys coming up short against Texoma. So they're trying to, you know, ride some success, too, and maybe get a title, tournament title this weekend, too. So a lot of opportunities for not just, you know, for Canute and Merritt. And I like this tournament because it brings down teams like Hooker and brings some teams from the south like Mangum and Frederick, and they meet right here in central western Oklahoma. And they give it – last year there's some really good games, and I don't doubt there'll be some good games this year, too.
And it's also one of the better hospitality rooms around. I can assure you of
they
that.
They use the – Home ec room. Come on. It's not just a closet. It's a full home ec room with the stove and everything.
You get nice and spread out, which you probably need to be, and unbuckle your...
And what's cool is that they put a TV in there and they
to watch
the games. Even though it's separate from the gym, you don't feel separated from the gym because that TV is on.
Just walk out the gym there.
It's a big screen TV, and at least they did it like this last year. And I'm sure they've done it years past, but you can just... So you can't miss anything. Go grab something to eat and sit down and watch the games.
Let's see. Over in Arapahoe Butler, this one is normally, it's kind of a weird year at the Western Equipment Classic. Normally, you're seeing two or three teams, four teams ranked per bracket.
Mm-hmm.
This year, there's only one in each, which is is really a rarity there. You've got Lakeba Sickles, Class B, number 4, is the one seed in the girls. They're the only ranked team as of right now. They play Cordell. Snyder and Southwest Covenant also in that side of the bracket. Down at the bottom, you know, Amber Pocasset, they've been a staple in the top 5 or 10 in 2A. They're not ranked right now, as is Arapahoe Butler, same way. You know, those two teams, you would have never dreamed of them playing in the first round of this tournament over the past half decade or whatever. Instead, that's a first-round matchup. Then Sayre and Cheyenne is the other game in the girls. On the boys' side, Southwest Covenant, Class A, number 19. They'll play Cordell. Snyder Cheyenne is the other side of that bracket. Down at the bottom of the bracket, Arapahoe Butler will get Sayre. Lakeba Sickles and Amber Pocasset is the other game on the first round there. But the Warrior Classic, maybe, you know, there's a few games in some of these tournaments that you really want to see. You know, the bracket play out, Merritt Canute's one of them for sure. Warrior Classic, this is an absolute guarantee how you want to see this bracket play out. No offense to anybody that used to work on our sidelines, but you got Hammond, Class B, number 2 on the girls' side of this, playing Visi. Sentinel and Boise City in the same side of that bracket. Then down at the bottom, Class A, number 15, Texoma against Corn Bible. And Class B, number 3, Lomega will play Shattuck. So a chance at a state championship game rematch between Class B, number 2, Hammond, Class B, number 3, Lomega in the Warrior Classic on the girls' side. Of all the games, I mean, that's obviously one that just jumps off the page. Like, okay, let's hope we get that one.
100%. You want to see a rematch? Sure. How has Lomega been doing? I know I have not really been following.
I bet they're good.
How Lomega? Oh, well, that's. But how good? That's what I want to know.
10-1.
See?
Only loss is to number 1 Dover in the first game of the season. After that, they've won every game.
They've won every game.
Beat Okarchee, which, you know, that was before all the stuff happened with Okarchee.
They're putting up points. I just pulled up the record. They're putting up some points.
Yeah, there's a 92, 87, 89, 83. It'd be good stuff. That's obviously what, I mean, you know, that's just one of those games you want to see, right?
Of course.
Boys' side of that, another one that I can't wait to see. And hopefully we get it. You got Sentinel at Class A, number 6, playing the Core Bible. Visi and Shattuck on the same side of the bracket. Then Hammond against Class B, number 17, Lomega. Then Boise City against number 9 in Class A, Texoma. So a chance at 2 top 10 finals at the Warrior Classic. Sentinel and Texoma on the boys' side, Hammond and Lomega on the girls. Old Center Classic at Woodward. Class B, number 10, Arnett is the number 1 seed. They play Goodwell, Balco and Fargo Gage, Fort Supply on the same side on the girls' side. Laverne and Forgan, then Tyrone and Class B, number 12, Leedy. So, an Arnett, Leedy, seems like those two have played a ton over the last couple of years.
Haven't they?
Yeah. And in finals of tournaments, obviously to go to the state tournament last year. Boys, Leedy's the number 1 seed. Class B, number 6, they play Goodwell. How weird is that? Just a year ago, that was the area consolation final in Woodward.
That's right.
With Goodwell beating Leedy.
That's right.
This year, Goodwell's the 8 seed. Obviously graduated some. Fargo Gage, Fort Supply, and Arnett, same side of that bracket. Then down at the bottom, Laverne, Tyrone, Forgan, and Class B, number 16, Balco. Here's the coolest name of any tournament that Paragon schools are going to. The Slick Hills.
Yeah. That's in Apache, right?
It's in Apache.
Yeah.
The Slick Hills. Think about this possible semifinal when you hear the names from a couple of years ago. Well, for one, they played in the finals at Class A a couple of years ago. So the number 1 seed is 2A, number 9, Van Oss. And right below them in the same side of the bracket is Hydro Weekly. You could only salivated over that matchup a few years back. Now it might be a semifinal. 2A, 17, Hobart, also in the bottom of that bracket. So that would be, you know, the two ranked teams, Hobart and Van Oss, with a chance to meet each other. Boys' side, pretty good. There's some pretty. I really thought Boone Apache was ranked in the boys, but I didn't find them. But anyhow, that would have been the most ranked teams of anybody if they would have been in any tournament.
Boone Apache?
Yeah, are they ranked?
Did you check 2A? No, they jumped up to 2A.
Oh, it's because it just says Apache.
Oh, well.
As I say, I knew that I'd seen them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all four. So, there's 4 ranked teams in this tournament. That's the most of any of these. 2A, number 7, Hobart, plays Oklahoma City Knights. Class B number 15, Big Pasture, plays Hydra Weekly. 2A 12, Van Oss, plays Walters. And then, yeah, Apaches, number 18 in Class A. They play Hollis. So every game in the first round has somebody ranked. There you go. Oh, wait. Eric. The Fraser Bank tournament at Wussy.
Oh, that's that. Yeah, down
it's
in Alpes.
The Cotton
yeah.
Belt.
Yeah.
There isn't a ranked team in the girls. Sweetwater and Olustee, Indiahoma, Tipton, Granite and Blair, Duke and Eric. And then on the boys' side, there is. Duke, number 3 in Class B. Chance to play Granite, number 10 in Class B. Eric is there as well. Eric will be the 3 seed in this as they play Blair tomorrow at 140. Girls play Duke at 3.
You know, at what point do we start to say it's, you know, there in some, in any sport, there's always like they circle like a weekend or a date and they go, okay, that's the shakeout date. That's when we know. That's when the pretenders and contenders start to separate from each other. At what point, and it's coming this month, so at what point is it too early to say this weekend? Maybe this, you know, there's always one more tournament it feels like mm-hmm. in a couple weeks. You know, based on everything you just said right there, you know, that Apache tournament full of ranked teams, we might get some answers there. You know, with Merritt, what happens on what we think could lead up on Saturday over the Warrior Dome with the potential of La Mega and Hammond. Is it too early to say that if based on results, or is it just part of the process of the shakeout?
Probably the process, but I know, you know, think about a year ago. Curious to see that final. And it materialized with Hammond and Lomega, mm-hmm. and the way that Hammond was able to control that game, you know, they end up beating him by 10, 12, all something right. like that. Very similar to the way it was a little bit higher scoring than the final was, but similar the way the game played out. And I think, you know, that's when you kind of thought, ooh, Hammond's really is a contender to win the whole thing. I mean, you knew it from the year before playing in the semifinals, and, you know, things didn't go well at all against Pittsburgh because Hammond couldn't find the ocean and Pittsburgh couldn't miss, right? I mean, but you had an inkling that Hammond was going to beat back. Now, just how much, what does that mean? I think that this weekend a year ago put them definitely square in the mix of the Class B state
like,
title.
Okay, that looks like they're the favorite.
They're one of them.
Or definitely a contender. Yeah,
definite contender status. Sure. I think that's what...
What I'm getting at, I'm sorry to interrupt, is, you know, there are some... I don't want to say questions. It seems like a mean word to use, but there are some teams that are having success. But I'm like, okay, I want to see you know, is it real? Is it real? So, and I won't say who, but I got some on my mind, and I want to see come Saturday night how they fare.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, after Saturday night, after
I'll
this
say,
weekend.
I'll say it. I think if... I realize they're young, but this is a great chance for Cheyenne Raiden to say, hey, we're here, and play in the finals against Laquiba Sickles, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're a team that I really think that if you look at, you know, a Sayre team that they've already beaten, you know, Arapahoe or Amber Pocasset, to me, and they look to be the second seed in this tournament, this would be a really great chance for them as youngsters to get into that final and then play Class B number 4, Laquiba Sickles. You know, that one, they jump off the page at me as that team, as one of those teams. I think the same can be said kind of about the Canute boys. Get to the final against Hooker and then see where the chips may fall. And another interesting thing, I think, why I wouldn't say it's this weekend, I would say it's 2 weeks from now, is it seems like, you know, there's one of these tournaments in January, everybody kind of goes to a familiar spot with familiar teams that they might play on a yearly basis or, you know, on the regular season schedule, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you look up in 2 weeks and it's like, okay, Leedy goes from playing, you know, the teams in Northwest Oklahoma. They're down at Altus with 2 or 3 A teams in that Tri-City.
Right.
Canute goes to the West Central. And, you know, it feels like there's a different – everybody's playing different teams. You know, Merritt gets Hammond and Sealing out there. You know, in ways, it just seems like kind of that last week is a little different week. So,
well, a couple teams that I was – okay, I'll say it too. A couple teams are on my mind is Granite, Boys, at 8-3, ranked 10th in Class B. Is that real? I want to see it. And then Eric, I think they are good, but they're not ranked. This is an opportunity for them this week to make a run here. And speaking of Eric, they actually beat that Granite team, I think.
Yeah, they
spoke of.
This would be the third time they played, yeah, if they both win on Thursday.
Right. So that's what I'm talking about. Is it a shakeout kind of weekend? Well, I mean, it maybe not a definite, but it's going to start the process. So we'll start to get a really good pulse and understanding of, okay, this team might be for real. Or, you know, maybe they need another year.
And I'd like to see Sentinel Tech Soma would be fun, too, on the boys' side.
100%. Yeah. Because of the style, the way they play.
I mean, to me, if everything plays out to seed, it'd be hard if you just want to go pick a place to be on Saturday night.
Oh.
It'd be hard not to want to go to Hammond.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You could get Hammond, Lomega. You could get Sentinel and Texoma. It'd be hard not to be there. Just kind of looking around at all the different possibilities.
Yeah.
You know, there's possibilities and ranked everywhere, but those are the highest end matchups that we could get.
I say this every year. This is the day. Tomorrow's the day I just want to take the day off work and just start and just travel to all these tournaments just to get, you know what I mean?
I'd rather do it Friday.
Friday? Get some semifinals in
there?
Yeah.
I'm afraid if you went tomorrow, you may see a whole bunch of head kickings.
Well, yeah, but I was thinking more along the lines of getting there, the atmosphere,
yeah,
the food, all that stuff.
Especially the food.
There's a ton of tournaments starting tomorrow.
Yeah, all across.
Yep.
I mean, everybody's playing all across the state of Oklahoma in tournaments. Getting jazzed up and ready to go with the high school basketball tournaments beginning tomorrow. All over. You're not even going to be here tomorrow, at least in studio.
I'll be on location.
You'll be out at Merritt.
I'll be getting there, setting up, and we'll attempt to do the thing we did last year. Hopefully the internet works, cooperates with us.
I'm sure it will.
Just be on the phone. But, yeah, I'll be over there because, Canute girls start at 10, followed by the boys. So it'll be a couple quick games and see what happens. But I was – yeah, that's kind of cool. You can go on location and do that. And I was just, and then after the boys' game, I'll go get lunch over at the.
Sorry, boss, I can't make it back yet. We've got to make a stop here, a little pit stop. NFL coming up, week 18, final regular season weekend of the calendar. Playoff chases all over the place. Divisions, there's a bunch that still haven't been settled. AFC East is still looking for a champion. AFC South still looking for a champion. NFC East still looking for a champ. NFC South still looking for a champ. So as the NFL does, half the division's still up for grabs going into the last week. That's no surprise. It seems like that happens each and every year. So as far as who has wrapped up anything, both number one seeds have been wrapped up. Baltimore is going to be the number one seed in the AFC, have home field advantage throughout the AFC playoffs. We'll get the week off next week with the bye. Same can be said for the San Francisco 49ers. They are the number one seed in the NFC. They will stay at home and get a bye next week. Everything else is completely up for grabs. Some big game, some of the most important games. Okay, how do you want to do this? All right, I'll tell you this. There's six teams that if they win, they're in. Okay? Tampa goes to Carolina. 8-8 Tampa Bay against 2-14 Carolina. If Tampa Bay wins, they're in as the NFC South champ. Doesn't matter what else happens, they're in. Green Bay, if they are able to get a win on Sunday against Chicago, they all of a sudden scary Chicago Bears, Green Bay is in. The Jacksonville Jaguars, if they win, they are in, and they would be the AFC South champ. Also from the AFC South, and these two teams play each other, so one of these teams is going to be a playoff team. Houston, and Indianapolis. They are going to play Saturday night. Winner is in the playoffs.
Of course they are. We're going to be busy.
So they would be.
Then that potentially has the makeup to be the best game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Because of what you just said.
And then also the Buffalo Bills. If they win, they're in. And, oh, by the way, we win the division. And that's going to be Sunday night game. Buffalo goes down to Miami.
Oh, that one too. That one too. Those.
But here's what's nuts.
Not just win you're in, but win a division title.
And here's what's nuts about Buffalo. If they lose, they may be out of the playoffs altogether.
I know. There is that scenario.
Down at Miami. So those are the win and you're in games. And then from that, there's a bunch of scenarios that we won't bore everybody with. With if this team wins, then that team has to lose. That team has to lose. Da da da.
Oh, there's a ton of them.
It goes from there. But those are the easiest one to explain. If they win, they're in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Now, as it stands right now, if you took a snapshot of the playoffs right this second, in the AFC next week, you would get Miami and the Colts, Kansas City and the Bills, Jaguars and the Browns. In the NFC, Dallas, Green Bay, Detroit and the Rams, Tampa and the Eagles. And then there's teams, you know, that can still get into the playoffs, you know, the outside looking in. If you're looking at that, trying to figure out how to, you know, make some matchups happen or whatever, what is a game that you would love to see in the AFC next week
in the
wild card round?
It's easy. It's Kansas City, Buffalo, right?
I think so.
That's the more entertaining game than Jacksonville, Cleveland, or Miami, Indianapolis.
And so,
just because of star power and the history there, playoff history there with those two teams, all that jazz. So, Kansas City and Buffalo.
I wonder if there's a chance we could get Miami hosting Buffalo again next week.
Oh man, you'd have to break out the 200-page tiebreaker scenario explanation book to get. I don't know. That'd be good. That'd be interesting.
Okay, let's think about this. Buffalo wins. They are the division champ, right? They beat Kansas City, didn't they? A couple weeks ago? Yeah, they did. At the Chiefs. Didn't they?
Or are you thinking of them at Philadelphia?
No, they beat the Chiefs 20-17. Right before they beat Dallas.
No, that was Philadelphia won that game.
Philadelphia beat them.
Yeah.
And so that's not going to be possible if the Bills win. For one, they would be the division champ, but Miami won't fall to the seventh seed. So in order to get Miami-Buffalo again, it would have to happen with Miami winning, which then also creates the chance that Buffalo doesn't make the playoffs. I think that's the right answer, just because of what we saw a couple years ago. In that crazy game, mm-hmm. in the divisional round, because quite frankly, I mean, I don't know. Would Chiefs? I think we're locked into whoever the Browns are going to play. Whoever wins the South, I don't know that any of those games really float your boat. Jags, Browns, yeah. Steelers, Bills, does that do anything for you if the Bills win? Kenny Pickett not want to be the backup? Really? I wonder if Jim would rather the Steelers not make the playoffs and get a better pick and have a better chance at one of those quarterbacks.
You put his patented truth serum in him, he would tell you yes. That's the scenario he would want.
All right, NFC-wise, right now we would get Dallas and Green Bay, Detroit and the Rams, Tampa and the Eagles. The outside looking in, Seattle, New Orleans, and the Vikings. Well, I can tell you beyond the shadow of any doubt, the game I don't want to see.
What's that?
In the first round. New Orleans coming to Dallas.
Oh, no.
I just don't want to see that game.
That seems like a matchup nightmare.
They just want to. I don't know why New Orleans scares you or scares me, but they just kind of do. Of those games,
well, just look what they did last week.
To Tampa.
Tampa Bay, they kind of completely shut them down. And that was at Tampa. So, and I know Tampa Bay's no juggernaut, but they were rolling. They were on a little bit of a roll.
It seems to me like the NFC has better wild card games than the AFC.
Yeah, all three of them at this point are entertaining. To answer the question, though, just because of the hometown feel of the two quarterbacks, the two OU quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield going up against Jalen Hurts, that's interesting to me. I don't know how interesting the game would be, say, come late third quarter, but if Baker gets back on track this weekend with a win at Carolina, you would think that they would. And who knows? Philly's
struggling. Defense has been terrible this year. I guarantee you, Baker's hoping that Dallas wins the division and he gets to play the Eagles defense instead of the Cowboys defense.
Yeah. So that one, I mean, outside of being a Dallas fan and always going to be interested in, I mean, Dallas and Green Bay, come on, just the helmets alone.
The jersey combo off the charts.
Yeah, but Tampa Bay, Philly, just because of the quarterbacks, and then not just that, but everything we said too, the Philly's defense kind of struggling and Hurts kind of, what's going on there? And is Baker really this guy that everyone's kind of turning face on or turning around going, okay, he is an NFL quarterback. He deserves an extension in Tampa Bay. If he deserves an extension in Tampa Bay, he goes and wins that game. I mean, that's his chance to get that extension.
Yeah, and then if you're a Dallas fan, if you could get, say, the Rams beating the Lions.
Yeah.
You get to host Baker Mayfield in the divisional round.
Oh, that's what you'd want.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, that's... There's not, no offense to Baker, but holy crap. There's not a more cupcakes. For radio fun at 2 o'clock for a week, give me that. What would, the Ultimate's head may explode.
Who would he root for?
The Meteor. That would be the Ultimate's.
He would.
The Ultimate's Meteor game. If it was Baker Mayfield against the Dallas Cowboys in the playoffs. I love the thought of that. Green Bay and Dallas, but honestly, the best game. I would love to see Detroit and the Rams. Jared Goff having a chance to prove to his coach.
Cool. That would be kind of cool.
McVay.
Totally overlooked that.
Yeah, give me some of that. Matthew Stafford going back to where he became, Matthew Stafford at the Lions. That would be the one that I would want to see. Who are the most surprising teams that we're sitting here talking about?
Final note about Detroit. Do you think there's the potential? We haven't even talked about the controversy, but do you think there's potential? They're still reeling over that. I don't even know who they play next week. It doesn't matter. I wonder if they even rest people next week.
Yeah, they're locked in. Well, they can win and Dallas can lose and they can end up second.
That's true. They still have something to play for.
They play the Vikings at home.
They want to beat their divisional rivals.
Yeah, they're still, I mean, like I said, they...
And you're right. There's still something to play for. There's still a potential for a two seed.
I wonder what the tiebreak is with Philly if Dallas were to lose and Philly win. As far as that two seed goes. Did those two teams play? I think they did.
Philly and Detroit?
Yes. Or was that last year?
I don't know if they did this year.
It was early if they did. Seahawks. No, it was the Seahawks that beat Detroit. Last year it was the Eagles that beat them early. So... whatever the tiebreaker would be.
Well, anyways, my point is, do you think they're just so still reeling over that? Still, it's almost to a point like, let it go because you can't let that beat you twice or even three times. And if they get to the playoffs and they're like, okay, guys, if we can win this game, we can go back to Dallas. And they overlook L.A.
I think there's a chance of that. But with Goff being a former Ram, maybe not. Maybe not as much. Who surprises you that we're sitting here talking about?
That's in the playoffs?
That's in the playoff talk.
That's in the hunt or like?
Yeah, that's in the hunt. Potentially could be. Like, for me, that Indianapolis-Houston game, if you had told me that they would play week 18 for a spot in the playoffs, I'd have told you were nuts. Both with rookie quarterbacks drafted in the top five. Over the last couple of, what I'm saying?
Well, and then one of them getting hurt, and then Indy's still in it.
Yeah, Richardson, in a weird way, might have helped them.
Yeah.
But I think that's pretty amazing. That the AFC South, I think, I mean, we talked about it. Of the choices for worst division in football, it was one of the Souths.
Yeah.
And instead, here's the AFC South with three teams at 9-7.
Yeah, their future looks bright.
And Tennessee isn't one of them. That's what's even crazier.
Yeah.
So those two are – Jacksonville, everybody thought was going to win that division, hands down. But those two being there, and obviously Baker and Tampa Bay, I don't know that anybody thought. I think if you made a bet where, A, they have a game to win to play, make the playoffs versus, B, Baker's not the starting quarterback week 10, I think most people would have taken the latter. And that Tampa Bay struggled, Baker struggled, and the Buccaneers decided to see what they had, if anything, in Kyle Trask.
Right.
And instead, here they are on the cusp of another division title. You know, win this game. It's not a comparison, direct comparison to the two guys. I'm not saying this, but yeah, Tampa made the playoffs last year at 8-9. Winning that division. Mm-hmm. 9-8 with Baker first. You know what I'm saying? Tom Brady quarterbacked him to an 8-9 record, and kind of getting an idea of maybe what Baker's been able to do throughout the season. So that's obviously the surprising one to me. I liked the Rams to start, so I can't say them. Just with Stafford coming back, being healthy. And other than that, I don't think there's a bunch of surprises in the NFC, is there?
Yeah, other than the Tampa Bay thing, not really.
I think we both thought the Saints would win that division, and they're right there with the chance to do it if Tampa struggles.
Yeah, we knew Philly was going to be good, and we knew, like I said, Dallas, we knew they'd be contenders for their division, and here they are last week of the year, have a chance to secure that. No, I don't see a bunch of surprises. Maybe the I don't know. We didn't know what to think of the Packers with their quarterback situation.
Yeah, they'd probably be the next on the list,
there
right?
They are, though. They get a win. They're basically in, right? That's what we said.
Yeah, they win, they're in.
They win, they're in. So, but I think everything else has kind of went as we expected. I'm trying to look at teams that maybe have disappointed, and, you know, there's not really. Maybe the Bears, I don't know. And they're nowhere in, you know, they're not. They're eliminated, obviously. I think a lot of people had high hope with Justin Fields and the Bears.
I had him win the division because I didn't trust Detroit. And they.
No, I was with you. You're right. I was with you. I didn't trust Detroit. Detroit was a show me.
Yeah, I think you went Vikings instead, didn't you?
Yeah, you got to show me. Show me, Detroit, that you're actually a good team and not just this flash in the pan. You know, because every once in a while they just look down their jerseys and go, oh, well, we are the Lions. We're not supposed to win this game.
Yeah, and the Bears blew some games. Man, they blew some games that would have them right in the hunt. All right, who's your top five in the NFL this week? We both agreed Lamar won the MVP last week.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah. I had to log out. Give me yours first. I'm sorry.
Okay, I will go number one, Baltimore. Number two, San Francisco. Number three, I'm going to buy into this hype.
This is where it got a little muddy, didn't it?
Man, I've been against this hype all year. Because but they've won four in a row. They're on the cusp of winning a division, and then they get some games at home in that stadium in Buffalo. I'm going to put the Bills third. I'll put the Browns fourth. Joe Flacco. Do we love Joe Flacco?
Okay. I love the story.
And then I'll put Dallas fifth.
Yeah, see, okay, I went Baltimore and San Francisco 1-2, and then almost put an asterisk on the next three. It's like, you can put them in any order. I'm with you on the Bills. Well, the Bills beat the Cowboys, so then you've got to put them above the Cowboys. But then the Cowboys beat the Lions, so you got to put them above the Lions. But wait, did they? So you got to put the Lions above the Cowboys. They were going to win that game if it wasn't for that controversy at the end. So how do you do it? And I just went Lions, Cowboys, Bills.
Yeah.
And I'll take any flack for that because I didn't know where to put those three, but those were my final three of my top five. But I went with Lions. But come on, let's face it. They should have won that game.
Yeah, or the tripping call before might have had it.
That's true, too. There's a lot of stuff that happens. Everyone turns a blind eye to because it's the Cowboys and they don't want to. concede to that.
I think the point.
But Bills handled the Cowboys so easily, so it's so hard.
To me, the point we're both making is there's an obvious favorite in each division, in each conference.
Yes. Yeah.
More so to me, the Niners, because they have had postseason success. Lamar, MVP year, struggled in the playoff game that they lost. I think Tennessee beat them, if I remember right.
Yeah, they shocked them on a Saturday. Yeah, I remember that.
So, still a little bit of concern, maybe.
Yeah.
But the Ravens have had history of being really, really good. Wrap it up a Wednesday with the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Cue the music. Thunder roll.
Oh, hang on. I've got it.
Oh, I like that.
Maybe I just have that.
That's still good. That should be our intro for any time we talk about the Thunder.
Yeah, from now on. So you'll be sitting across from me. You're like, say I forget to email you the rundown, like happens every now and then.
Yeah.
Hey, Aaron, what are we going to talk about? And you'll immediately know. You got any thoughts on what's going on, Jared, with those guys?
Yeah, they're good.
You know, I was calling the game last night. What about how'd they do?
They are good.
Oklahoma City Thunder win again last night. This time against the team with the best record in the league, the Boston Celtics. 127-123.
And they almost made it look easy.
For a long, you know, like I said, I was getting the updates on the, you know, I'm so thundered up, I've got the Thunder app rolling on my phone. And, you know, it would buzz at the end of quarters or what have you. And I'm like, well, boy, this game's going pretty well. You know, halftime, maybe not, as Boston had the lead. And then the third quarter, OKC 40-25 in that quarter, eventually led by 18 with 6 minutes to go before Boston got back in it. And Oklahoma City had to make plays down the stretch to hold on and win, as they did, 127-123. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander continues MVP discussion season. Right now, Joel Embiid is so good that it's hard to kind of think about unseating him, but SGA again last night, 36, 14 of 22, 3 of 5 from 3. Oklahoma City, you know, people are starting to kind of talk about they have three all-stars with SGA, Chet, and maybe Jalen Williams as well playing at that level. But to me, the reason that they've you know, they started out really well. But in this last little stretch here, where they went to they beat Minnesota. Well, they went to Denver before that and won that close game that SGA hit the game winner. Mm-hmm. Then you beat Minnesota on your home floor. Then you go out and just destroy Denver last Friday night. Beat Brooklyn then last night against Boston, win that game too. I think, to me, you're seeing a guy that's been much, much, much maligned throughout this season so far, both on and off the floor, starting to figure out how to play with this team. And that guy is Giddy. Back-to-back games with 4 made threes. He had 23 last night, 8 of 14 shooting. Also grabbed 8 boards, which is huge for this team that kind of lacks that rebounding. He grabs 8 of them, 6 assists. I'll continue to say this. The Thunder were beaten on the boards by 9 last night. If they can keep that margin below 10, you're gonna have a hard time beating them. Because they accrue possessions in a different way. If you look at the turnover numbers each and every game, that's where they make up for the rebounding deficiencies. Mm-hmm. Is they cause turnovers, and they do not turn it over themselves. Last night, getting beat on the boards by 9, guess what? You got 4 fewer turnovers. Now, all of a sudden, all you're giving up is 5 possessions. And when you shoot the basketball the way the Thunder have shot, it's weird to sit here and go, hey, you know who's a pretty good shooting team? The Thunder.
Yeah.
Because that hasn't necessarily been the case. Even with KD and Russ, there was always that, golly, you need a shooter, need a guy to play defense and shoot. They got all kinds of guys that can shoot. Last night, 18 of 40 from 3, which is 45%. 53% from the field overall. You know, I heard Gideon and Matt talking on the post game when I was driving back from the Pioneer Center to here. There was a stretch in the third quarter where they scored on 10 straight possessions, hit 8 of 10 from 3 in like from the middle of the third quarter through the first couple of possessions of the fourth. Man, it's hard to beat teams that do that, right? And they're deep, and they got guys that come off the bench and know their roles and play their roles. And, you know, some nights it's Aaron Wiggins and Kenrich Williams. Last night it was more Jay Will and Isaiah Joe knocked down three. You know, Cason Wallace has been really good as a rookie. Then out of nowhere, Micić will have a good game, or Bertans will knock down a – you know, it's crazy, the mixture. And you never quite know exactly how it's going to work off the bench with guys. But you do know you're getting what you're getting from that starting lineup. Man, they're good. And it's starting to seem like they really are a contender this season.
Yeah, I texted a buddy as soon as that game was over last night just so I could have it on record. I said, they're going all the way. That way I can just go back to that text. See, I told you if it happens. But the things that stands out to me, and you hit on it, and I'll just do quick bullet points. Efficient. They're efficient scorers, efficient across the board, it feels like. I mean, the three-point shooting, it's been really nice to say we have a team that can shoot the three. Right? Even in the heyday, that was kind of a struggle at times, the first heyday. They're not selfish. Again, something you touched, they're not selfish. The bench is adequate coming in and continuing, you know, what they can do. And these guys are still babies, right? They're still babies in the NBA. So what I mean by that is they're not, it hasn't hit them yet. That these guys, you know, you see that with the young guy, and I think we saw it with Durant. We saw a little bit with Westbrook. We saw when the light was on him, and then, you know, all that stuff, and they got, I don't know, too big for their britches. I don't know what the word to use, but it's like they're just still there to play basketball, and they're young, and they're still there to play as a team. They're still there, allowing themselves to get chewed out by Dagnall, if that's the case, being coachable. And it's very reminiscent to that, and we say this all the time, very reminiscent of that first go-around with Thunder U back in the day, back in, you know, 09, 10, 11 in the finals year. But it's exciting. It's real exciting. And we're about to hit a stretch. I've been saying this, too.
I know. That's
January, man. I mean, this month, you're about to go on a four-game road trip, all winnable games, but still they're road games, and they are a good road team, by the way. And, I mean, got 8 out of the next 10 on the road. So, but I don't think it even bothers them. They just go out and play. And they apply everything I just talked about, and they're a good team.
Yeah, not only are they – yeah, they're a good road team, I'd say. They're the best one in the league.
Yeah.
But it's funny when you say that stretch, because going into this stretch, it was, oh, we'll see. We'll see. You got Denver twice in a week on the road, and then there's Minnesota, then there's Boston. Well, all they've done is 8-2
right.
In the last 10.
Well, it's one thing playing these contenders, and they got Minnesota at home.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, they got Denver on the road and beat them, but they, you know, the Clippers, go back to the Clippers, beat them.
That's right.
You know, then last night Boston. So that's one thing. That's doing it at home. But when you go on the road, it's more than just the opponent. You know, it's the travel, it's the constant change of hotel, all that stuff. So, you know, fans, whatever. But they're all winnable. You know, at Atlanta, at Brooklyn, at Washington, at Miami, the next four.
Yeah, you win 3 out of those 4.
It's pretty good.
That's fantastic. And here's the thing. With the first time you go to Minnesota, and Chet kind of looks outmatched with Gobert and Kat kind of throwing him around like a rag doll. And you come back in that game here, and Chet is a totally different dude.
Well, same thing about Denver.
Denver's the same
way.
You play Jokic in game 3 of his career. Yeah, it didn't go well. The last 2 times, he's absolutely been on the floor with Jokic. And another thing that maybe gets lost in the shuffle is, they're doing it on both ends. So right now, their offensive rating is 5th in the league, which I think you'd expect with the way they've shot the ball and the points that they've been putting up. Defensively, though, they're 3rd. The 3rd best defensive team in the ratings, which means when you look at the net, they're 3rd there as well. Only Boston and Philly ahead of them. Which means, so right now, according to the net rating, the Thunder are the best team in the West.
It's wild.
Which is, it's incredible to say these things. And, you know, I know that we've all been kind of tempering our expectations. At what point do you just say, you know what? I mean, in the Western Conference, their point differential is almost 3 points better than anybody else, meaning just if you add up all the points they've scored versus the points they've given up and divide it by the amount of games they played, they're plus 8.4 versus plus 5.5 for Minnesota. That's 3 points better than anybody. Just awesome. Awesome start to the season. I we'll see. Like the contender thing, I just don't think it's an answerable question until you see these guys in the playoffs.
Well, that's the
because
thing.
It's such a different game. Yeah. It's a totally different game. 7-game series, rest in between for the old dudes, game planning to stop what you're doing night in, night out. I don't think you can answer that question, which then leads to, well, should they make a move? In my mind, the answer to that is no, because why make a move for something that you don't even know what the answer, you don't even know what the answer to the puzzle is yet?
Yeah.
Without seeing all these guys on the floor, we got a taste of it in the play-in with New Orleans and then Minnesota last year. But even that isn't the same as butting heads with somebody 7 straight games.
Right.
And the adjustments that need to be made. And quite frankly, we don't know any of this about Mark Daigneault either.
Yeah. Can he coach in a 7-game series?
That's right.
Yeah.
And so,
or prepare.
Yeah. I know that from now until February and that trade deadline, that's what we're going to hear.
Yeah.
Is they need to make this move. They need to make that move. This is the one that puts them over the top. I don't know if there is one to put them over the top this year. Because they're so young, I think it's impossible to know that. And for me, with the way it's going, I think I just as soon I've been on the bring in Durant. I'm in, man. Bring him back. He's just perfect fit for any team. But right now, with the way this team is gelling and playing together, I don't know that an outsider, quote unquote, makes much sense with these guys right now.
Right.
And to me, until you see, it's one thing to see them in the regular season and blossom in the regular season. But it's a total another thing to know what you need in a playoff situation until you see these guys in the playoffs.
If there was a trade to be made, and we've seen this, I'm just going off of history of Sam Presti in contention years of what he's done at trade deadlines. The common thing I've seen, I'll just give two examples, is he's brought in guys that have been there.
Yeah, that's right. Perkins, obviously.
Perkins, even Derek Fisher. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was a trade thing. I think that was
a pickup.
Pickup. Mm-hmm. But point is, he brings in guys that...
Yeah, he got bought out. That's right. What I was trying to think of.
He brings in guys that he feels it's not necessarily... I mean, Perkins was obviously a contributor on the court, but... And Fisher was at times. But is a guy that knows how to handle all this playoff pressure, knows how to talk to the young guys in the locker room. So... That's where I can see him maybe even picking up the phone and calling Phoenix, going, listen, I need this. I need help. I need a veteran guy that's been in the playoffs. Yeah, but you know, and then there's gonna be the what's his name, Markkanen or
yeah, or Vucevic. Vucevic makes a ton of sense with Chicago. But what do you give up?
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's so many picks. I mean, that's why he's acquired all these picks, right? I mean, you can't use them all.
My point about I agree with that idea. I just don't know if I agree with it yet.
Right.
Because how do you, like, right here, we got sent a trade. Vucevic, Forgetti, Trey Mann, Poku, and a couple of picks. That's, on the surface, that seems like a really good idea. Put Vucevic beside Holmgren. He's not really a in-the-post guy either, so you've got the defense without sacrificing the driving lanes that the Thunder use so well. Mm-hmm. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, for sure, in that boat. But how do you know that you're not getting rid of? I think people are so down on Giddy for no reason. He's the only of the core. He's the one who has had to change the way he's played with Chet coming in more than any of them. Mm-hmm. Dort still does what Dort does, Jalen Williams in the with SGA off the floor can handle the ball, kind of taking that role from. So Giddey's been the one that has been kind of lost in translation, and that's what I'm saying. When you look over this last little stretch here for the last week and a half or two, with all these big wins and dominating wins over good teams, who's figured it out? And it's been Giddey. And so now he just adds another layer to what what you have with the three all-stars, quote unquote, with SGA, J-Dub, and Chet. Man, if you get Giddey figuring it out and playing at the level that he kind of can't, you know he's got the talent. It's just a matter of figuring it out on this team. Who knows? Sky is the limit at that point. But I think it would, for me, I think it would be premature to start chipping any of those four, maybe even five, any of those, that normal starting lineup. I think it's premature to ship any of those guys out until you see them play in the playoffs together.
And that's, I think, there's, you know, if it's not, from the text line, it's a good quote, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I think it's not necessarily broke or anything like that. It's, let's see what we got in the playoffs. It's, you know, like 2009-10 season, you know, that first year they made the playoffs as a franchise in Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Against the Lakers. They didn't make any move. They didn't do anything. It's no. Like, yeah, press, like, let's let it roll. Let's see what we got.
What are we missing? Oh, Perk.
Boom. And then it was the next year, that's when mm-hmm. moves were made, and it's like, we got something here. Let's make it better.
Yeah, I think that's the – I'm sure that's the way he's going to do it.
Yep.
Get a chance to see. And the crazy thing is with this team versus even that one, you're going to get the chance to see at maybe even a higher level. I mean, that team won 50. They're also the 8 seed.
Yeah.
Right now, this team looks like it's going to win 50 plus, but they're be maybe a host team instead of an away team.
Fun times.
Fun times in Thunderland. Everybody have a great weekend or Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.